second part of the message on an attitude of gratitude. We're talking this morning about deliverance. And it occurred to me that many times we've done a pretty good job as Christians carrying the burdens and still loving God. And we think sometimes that that gives us favor with God. Well, we're not accessing all that God has for us. We're trying to be brave and good, strong children and say, God, I can motivate, I can do, I can be a good Christian, and I can carry all these things at the same time. But this morning I want to put something in you of the realization that you're no longer the person you were. You no longer have to carry any burdens. Christ is our burden carrier. Hello, it's quiet this morning. He doesn't ask us to carry any burden. All our cares we cast upon Him. See, all He's looking for is relationship. And with that relationship, He's the stronger one. Come on, somebody. He is all powerful, see? And whenever He saved us, we're talking in this series about thankfulness. Whenever He saved us, He saved us completely. Amen. He saved us completely. We are not having to deal with anything. And when we are confronted with challenges, we give them to Him. We are confronted with sin, we give it to Him. A couple of weeks ago in our first message, we talked about gratitude. We spoke of the fact we've been redeemed. There's a great cost in that redemption. Christ shed His own blood so that you and I can have eternal life. We have citizenship in heaven and much more. That's a glorious thing to be bought and paid for by the King Himself. Christ chose you from the foundations of the world, before the foundations of the world. It's wonderful to know that Christ has chosen you, particularly, individually, you. God picked you out of everybody and said, I want this person to serve me, and therefore I'm going to draw him by my Holy Spirit. And so we are so grateful for what God has done. How many are grateful that God saved you, brought you up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay, and He set your feet upon a rock? God has done good things. But if that's all He did, if that's all He was about, if He just saved us and then left us in our own quagmire of problems, if He left us just struggling with sickness, if He left us struggling with our past, that wouldn't be much of a favor to us. But God did more than that, because He delivered us from one place to another. I don't know if you've ever taken a long trip before in a car, but when you're driving in a car and you're getting closer, it always seems to me, by the way, that the last 3 or 4 hours seem like days when you're going 15 hours. The last 2 hours seems like you're never going to get there. And then the last 15 minutes, it seems like somebody has the destination and keeps pulling it away from you. But how disappointing it would be had we driven all those hours and get out of the car and we're right where we were when we started. We made a complete circle and we're right where we were when we started. See, God has delivered us from darkness into light. Hallelujah. Anything that looks like darkness, anything that we struggle with in darkness, is not of God. It's the devil lying to you. Now, I'm so sure of what God wants to do this morning. I could sense it in the air this morning that if, and I'm going to ask whoever takes this garbage, goes and burns it. Somebody can burn it in on their property. Please take it. Because while I'm preaching, God is going to lay on your heart something that you've been carrying around of a burden that He says, I don't want you to carry that burden anymore. I want you to drop it off. So I want you to scribble it down on a piece of paper and bring it up here and throw it in there. Get rid of all that garbage, because you are not making anybody, you're not impressing God with your strength. You're not impressing God with carrying something that He never asked you to carry. See? He never asked you, He never said. The only thing He said is take up our cross. And our cross is relationship with Him. Our cross is listening to Him. Our cross is following Him. But the things that so easily beset us, the sins that maybe we've carried for a long time, or the memories that we've carried for a long time, we say, God, I'm thankful, but I'm thankful that you've given me the strength to carry this. And he said, and he's just saying to us, you don't have to carry that. If you give it to me, I'll take it away from you. And it's a place that you've never maybe even walked in your life. It's a place where you've heard somebody talk about freedom, and you smiled, and even in your words that when you're talking with somebody, yes, I'm free, but you don't feel free. See, it may be that you got all the lingo down, but you're not impressing anybody. See, you're not impressing God, because God says, I love you, and I want to take what that burden that you, because I've not left you there. I've not left you in your sin. I've not left you to battle that sin. I've taken that sin and I nailed it to the cross and I've made you free. Glory. Most people would be excited to get that kind of message, but we're stubborn. Especially Christians, we love God so much, we want to impress God, we want to say, God, I can handle this. Look at me. I'm like a warrior for you. I can carry these things. We don't sleep well. We don't think well. We don't go, it's always there in front of us. Maybe that sin that we did that we can't forgive ourselves for. It may be something that we've had to deal with. It may be a personality quirk that we've never gotten over. We can't beat the anger, or we can't beat the sadness, or we feel like nothing's ever happened good in our lives. All of that can be taken away and given to Christ. And I urge you to fight the flesh, because the flesh hates freedom. See, the flesh hates freedom, because in our flesh, we like being strong. We like showing off. We like doing those things. But Christ said, in your weakness is my strength. Let me take that. I'll be strong for you. Hallelujah. September of 1984, I attended, and if you ever hear me talk about listening to messages, one person that I can highly recommend, if you're taking notes this morning, just remember the name Milton Green, M-I-L-T-O-N, Green, just like it sounds, Green. And you can call him up on YouTube. You can hear all his messages. He has a ministry called Be Fruitful and Multiply. Milton died about 15 years ago, so you're not going to hear him live. But all his messages, in September of 1984, Terry and I attended a seminar with him, and it absolutely revolutionized and changed my life. Many things that he said in that seminar, I'm still living out today. And I'm sharing with you some of the essence of that, of being delivered. Christ delivered us from the domain of darkness and catapulted us into light, into something that we can deal with. Galatians, if you'll turn to Galatians, please. Galatians this morning. The very essence of the gospel is the freedom that we now experience as sons and daughters of our Creator. The Apostle Paul relished the freedom received by God, so much so that he was under the unction of the Holy Spirit. He spoke encouragement to the young church in Galatia to fight for that freedom. War against the spirits that have the sole goal of keeping us in the prison of our own making. See, we've got to fight those things. Beginning in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. But as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born according to the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what does the Scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Amen. See, Christ has made us free. And you can try to redefine that freedom. You can try to say, well, I'm free, but I've still got shackles. I'm free, but I've still got to do this. I'm free, but I've got to carry this. I'm reaping what I've sown. None of that. All of that is another gospel. See? All of that is another gospel and a lie. See, Christ didn't do 98% and leave you carrying 2%. Christ did the whole thing. Christ did the whole thing. He said, I'm going to get rid of the old man. I'm going to give you a new life. Galatians 5:1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. And do not be entangled again with a yoke of bondage." Now, what does that mean? That does not mean going back and smoking and chewing and going with girls that do. That means that we're going back to the flesh and saying, "God, I can do this. Watch me. I can handle this. I can handle this disappointment. I can handle these memories." The most freeing moment for me in this whole process was when I came to the realization that He had made me a new creation. I got rid of all that junk, see? All the junk that was in, and I had a tough childhood. I had a terrible childhood. Unspoken thing. I can't even say what some of the things my eyes beheld in my home. Can't even share it with you. But those memories God cleansed and took away from me, I no longer had to carry them or feel bad about them or feel less about them because I let them go, see? I wouldn't be able to stand here today if I didn't. If for any reason you feel you're in bondage to anything, you are not receiving all that God has for you. And I want you to get help today. I want you to be free today, see? We're thankful, but what are we thankful for? We're thankful for just eking by. We're thanking for just making it. God, I've been struggling, but I'm making it. Thank you very much. If I can just hang on till I die, I'll get there. And God says, "No, I don't want you to just hang on. I died so you don't have to hang on. I died so you don't have to carry that. I died so you don't have to keep up with that memory or keep being demonized by it. Demons coming to you and speaking to you about terrible things. And you put on a good face and you come to church and you talk to people, but over and over again, you're fighting and struggling with the same thing and you need not because God has made you free. He has delivered you," past tense. Watch what it says. "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free." See, freedom isn't freedom if it's not freedom. Freedom can't be freedom if I have any kind of a weight, if I have any kind of a shackle, if I have any kind of a thing. It's not freedom. It's religion. See, religion says we got to keep doing, we got to keep being, we got to keep all of this stuff, all this activity. And I understand that faith without works is dead. We're not even talking about that this morning. We're talking about encumbered with a load of sin that Christ died for. And we're carrying it because we think we need to. Over and over again, the word expresses our freedom in no uncertain terms. To be delivered is to be completely free. Some of you who I'm talking to this morning have never experienced total freedom. I'm here to tell you, God wants it for you today. Amen. Today. You don't have to do anything for it. Just have to receive it by faith. There's no calisthenics you have to do. You don't have to go in the lobby in the back and get the 5 steps to freedom. It's just releasing your faith to believe that what Christ did, past tense, is now yours. You own it. See, you own that. And man, the things that will change in your life if you just walk in that. I see people with that weight all the time. You've got memories, you've got things. Maybe it's a sin that you can't get over, that you keep recurring, it keeps recurring in your life. Nobody knows about it, and you're laboring under it, and you're saying, "God, I'll do it again, I'll ask forgiveness again." And God says, "If you'll just give it to me, I've translated you. I've brought you from a place of darkness to a great place of light." It's not traveling and traveling and traveling and traveling and getting out and finding yourself still in darkness and still fighting the same thing and still in the miry clay and still in the battle. That's not godly. That's not God. The enemy's been lying to you saying you're a pretty good Christian. Because you're fighting this thing and all he's doing is keeping you in a prison. God wants to set you free. Amen. God wants to set you free this morning. Completely free. Glory to God. To the extent that we have not walked in that freedom, God is opening a large door for us this morning, today, so that we can walk in that freedom. God's intent is that we walk in that freedom now. It's not something we have to wait for or labor about. We can walk in that freedom now. How many know when the bars, doors are open, you walk out? If somebody has you in a prison and the prison doors are flung open, there's nobody in their right mind going to stay in that prison. At a farmer's market in a little village, there was a covey of quail walking in circles around a pole. They had strings attached to their legs and they continued to walk around and around that pole hour after hour. A man came into the market and asked, how much will you take for all of them? And he bought them, paid the owner the agreed upon price, and then began to cut the strings off their legs. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to make them free. I'm going to set them free. But in spite of the strings being cut off, giving the quail their freedom, they continued to walk around the pole in the same old circle. They didn't even realize that they were free, and then they could go on in a different direction. They had to be scattered. And the sad thing is that we as Christians are free. God has delivered us, but we're not acting like it. We're still walking around the same old pole. See? This doesn't take long hours of counseling, no behavioral modification exercise, no 10 points to memorize, no long explanations, no conferences to get the plan, just freedom that is instant and life-changing. The facts do not lie, and God has made sure that the facts, no matter if it's in the Old or the New Testament, are the same throughout. God never changes. When He says freedom, He means freedom. Amen. Praise the Lord. Somebody beside me get excited about this. See, I have been delivered from the former life. I no longer identify with or resemble the old man with his sin because I've been delivered from that state. And the one that delivered me, I want to follow him for an eternity because nobody else could do what he did. Nobody else could take what he took. Nobody else knew me and knew what I needed but him. Praise the Lord. There's a story about Abe Lincoln who supposedly went to the slave block to buy a slave. He bid on and won a young girl. Upon taking possession of her, he said, young lady, you're free. Confused and incredulous, she fearfully asked him what he meant by the statement. Lincoln reiterated his comment. He meant, you're free. And free to do as I please and to say what I please and go where I please, she asked, hoping for some measure of clarification. And Lincoln said, yes, you are free to do and to say and go as you please. Then said the girl with a tearful gratitude, I'll go with you. See, Christ made us free, and so we follow Him because He knows the way to freedom. He knows how to stay free. It's not exactly brain surgery when we get saved. If you're really saved, you're really born again. There was a great weight lifted off of us, man. When I got saved, I felt like I was 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Come on, somebody. I walked around like the cock on the walk. I walked around like I knew what I was talking about. You couldn't wipe the smile off my face if you tried. But then, life took over. The enemy started to tell me things. You think you're free from that? You're not free from that. You're still the same person. Look, go look in the mirror, you ugly thing. You're still the same person you were before you said that stupid prayer. Come on, somebody. And demons, if you don't think demons are talking to you, you better think again. The devil talks to you all the time about what you're not, what you need. Every one of us. Because that's what he does. Come on, somebody. We got earplugs, but we can hear through earplugs. And the devil keeps telling us we're no good, we're never going to be any good, blah, 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 blah. And we've got to stand against him because we are, Jesus Christ has delivered us. Watch what the scripture says this morning. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, verse 74. To grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear. How many know that when He delivered us, He delivered us from the hand of the enemy? The enemy doesn't have anything in us. All he can do is yak, 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 yak. Come on, somebody. He's like a big Doberman with no teeth. Arf, arf, arf. Bark all you want, but you ain't gonna hurt me. I don't see any teeth there, see? Christ has taken all of that from him so that he has no authority in me unless I give him authority.
See?
He has made us free. He's delivered us from somewhere to somewhere. We don't have to act the way we did in darkness because we were in darkness. We are in the light and we're free and we're holy and we're righteous and we're all the things that the Word of God says that we are. We ought to act like it and walk like it and talk like it and be like it. Romans 7 verse 6 says, but now we have been delivered from the law. See what it says? Delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by. But now we have been delivered from the law, having died to what we were held by, so that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Which is what it says. We've been delivered from and we've been delivered to. It's one thing to be taken out of. It's quite another thing to be put into. See, most of us get that we've been put out of. We've been taken out of darkness, but we've not planted our feet in the light. We've not planted our feet on a rock. We want to go back and somehow walk in dusk, walk in that halfway point where we kind of help God out. See, God, I want to help you out because my life is complicated, God. And I know you're busy with other people, but my life is complicated. And I've got these little pet sins that I want to keep doing. See? Christ said, I've made you free from that. See, I've made you free. You may have made a prison of your own doing. You may be living inside of a room locked up in your own sins because you wanted them. But Christ said, I never created that. I never gave you that place. I made you free. I brought you over into the light completely. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13 says this. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. We're thankful because God delivered us from the power of darkness. Not only darkness, He didn't deliver us from darkness, but the power of darkness. How many can hear me when I say darkness has power? Darkness can stub a toe quicker than anything else in the world. How many have ever tripped and fell over something in the dark? See, there's a power of darkness. In darkness, when you're in true abject darkness, you see things that aren't there. How many have ever done that? And you get dark, so you can almost get scared. You look in the dark and you see something that's not there. See, darkness has power. But not only did Christ deliver us, because it would have been enough to deliver us from the darkness and keep the power so we could fight the power in the light. But God says, I've not only delivered you from darkness, I've delivered you from the power of darkness. Darkness doesn't have anything to do with you. You see, you're clear. Your eyes are clear. Your ears are open. That's a promise from God's Word. And everywhere I read it, it's past tense. It's not He's going to. In the sweet by and by when I get to heaven, the devil can't find me in heaven. I got news for you today. The devil can't find you here. You are covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. You're hidden in Him. Devil has nothing to do with you. All he can do is yell from the outside, but we ain't letting him in. Not only has our nature changed, our position has changed. We've been delivered out of and conveyed or translated into. So that we no longer walk or talk or act like we used to. And to the extent that we walk by rote, that we walk by memory, that we do the same silly things we did before we became a new creation, because our memories kind of grasp, well, this is how I handle this. Instead of Christ saying, I have deposited in you the wherewithal to never do those things again. So that we were without excuse, see? We're without excuse. We can't say, God, I didn't know. Because God has told us. Spend any time with the Lord at all. He's told you how free you are. Man, if we could get a generation that could get a hold of this. Not just a few, a generation of people. Because it's not about us. It's not about me. It's not that anybody's any better than anybody. God did it for everybody. Amen. Clear across the board. God does not get glory for us sinning and messing up. He doesn't get glory for pulling us out of mistakes and messes. God's not high-fiving the Holy Spirit this morning saying, man, I got Rick out of another jam. He got in a real mess this time and I delivered him. Hallelujah. He's not doing that. He's already done that. To the extent that I get myself in trouble, that's my choice. Christ never put me in a position where I get in trouble that I have to be delivered. He never says, okay, why don't you go get in trouble and let's see how my power works. No, get in more trouble. Go deeper. Get in more trouble because I really want to show off today. I've got power to deliver you. Are you there this morning? See, He has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the power of the kingdom. So much so that whatsoever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. So much so that whatever we loosed on this earth is already loosed in heaven. So much so that we have authority and power over the devil instantaneously when temptation comes. Come on, somebody. No temptation has come upon you but such as common to man. But in the way of temptation, I've created a way of escape. So that you don't even enter that sin. If we sin, Scripture says. If we sin, but we don't need to. Come on, somebody. We don't need to sin. Christ has delivered us, conveyed us into the power of the light. He's put within you and I something of power of heaven. The power of heaven resides in us. Can you believe that? God says it. He has delivered us from the power of darkness. Oh man, that makes me so free, see? And conveyed me into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He's translated me. He set me in a new place. Let's look at some of the scriptures that support what I'm saying this morning. Romans 6:14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law but under grace. Now I want you to know something this morning. I'm talking to a few people. Every time, man, you could be free for a day, you'd be free for a week, you'd be free for a month, you'd be free for 6 months, you'd be free for 2 years, and all of a sudden the enemy comes back and says, remember? And you do the sin again. You fall into the same old pattern. It's almost like an addiction. Because the enemy says, I'll let you be free for a while, but you always know that you're dragging this sin along. It's going to recur. And I'm here to tell you that it never needs to recur again after today. I'm here to tell you that that sin can be taken care of today. And never reoccur in your life ever again. How many would like that? Yeah. Woo! Come on, somebody. So when I got a hold of this in my own personal life, I got a hold of this. There were some things that I was struggling with. I mean, I had one of those conversions that I went from being, I don't even look like I used to. a facial change in my, I mean, all the anger came out of my life. There's all good. But there were some things that I was struggling with and fighting. And I remember going to this seminar, and this seminar was so prolific. So it was 13 hours a day for three days. And sometimes all he did was read scripture for hour after hour after hour, and the Holy Spirit ministering to me. But when I came to that place where I confronted some things, now here, I'm gonna mess with you a little bit. Because we, not only are we trying to impress God on one side, that we can carry the sin, the other side is we want to get away with the sin. God, I'm still your man. I'm still doing it, but there are little things that I would like to keep if you don't mind. You can have all that terrible stuff because, you know, drugs are expensive. I don't want to buy drugs no more. I don't want to get in trouble and get busted and go to jail, so I'll give you the drugs. But this attitude or this thing or this this thing that occupies my time, I want to keep it. I still want to be your man. Don't check out yet. Your flesh hates this. See, because we're the best justifiers in the world. We have got it down, man. We're slick. Because we're new creations. So new creations are creative. And sometimes we're creative in the wrong way. We make deals with God. Say, God, come here. I got this idea. No, wait till you hear me out. God, I could still be your man and still do this on my free time. And it's not that bad. I'm not really hurting anybody. And I know that I should get rid of it, but can I just hang on it just for a little while? Come on, somebody. I know I'm talking about people that should be here today that aren't here. Everybody that's here doesn't need to hear this, so. Make sure and get the CD to them. Listen, we've got to give up that stuff, see? See what the scripture says? It says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law but under grace. John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. First, you got to know it. Not know about it. You've got to know the truth. And the truth changes you, see? If the Son, John 8:36 says, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And free people are dangerous people. Because we're not bound by anything. I'm here to tell you, and I want to speak to your spirit this morning. You do not have to hold this anymore in your life. Don't be ashamed. Come up here and throw it in there. Don't be ashamed. It's nobody's business what you're putting in there. You're saying, I'm not going to walk on it no more. I'm not going to walk with it. I'm not going to try to impress God with it. I'm not going to try to make any deals with God. I want the freedom that Pastor Rick is talking about that I've never experienced. Freedom that I've never experienced. I'm incredulous about these things sometimes. I listen to people and they say, you know, I've actually got people that get angry with me defending Halloween. It's quiet in here. Well, we have to celebrate Halloween. Everybody does it. If we don't, we'll look weird. I'm a Christian. I can celebrate Halloween. It's fun. Plus, I get all that candy. Kids go out and get the candy and put it on the kitchen table, and I eat a little bit at a time so I don't feel bad. You old ugly thing, go to the store and buy the candy. And eat it yourself. But I actually get people that are angry about things that make no sense at all. And I'm picking on Halloween because in 5 or 6 days, I'm amazed how many Christians celebrate the holiday. It's a vile, wicked thing. You can't serve at the altar of God and serve at the altar of the devil. Can't do it. Can't say, God, you know, 364 days, I'll worship you, but on Halloween, I'm dressing up like a goblin, going door to door and getting candy. You take a break, I'll be back day after tomorrow. People make excuse. Well, kids have to do it because they would feel bad. Listen, my kids never missed not celebrating Halloween. Not that they ever told me anyway. I'm incredulous that we're trying to defend things like that, that says, why can't we do that and be a Christian? Because God said you can't serve the devil and serve, you can't eat at the devil, the table of demons and the table of the Lord. You can't do it. You can't do it. You can't justify things. I had a conversation the other day with somebody about fantasy football. Fantasy football used to just be fantasy. Now it's real money. How many know it's real money? It's gambling. You can win thousands of dollars, but you can lose thousands of dollars. Come on, somebody. It's a quagmire. I'm incredulous at how many people are trying to defend being a Christian and still being shackled with sin. Today is your day. You're no longer going to be shackled by anything.
Hallelujah.
See, free people are dangerous people. Because they have, see, all the authority of heaven is behind you when you're free. The devil doesn't have anything in you. So when you bind stuff, it's bound. When you loose stuff, it's loosed. When you take authority, it's authority. You're not trying to make a deal. God, you don't say, God, I've got this thing in my life, I've carried this sin, and I'm going to continue to carry the sin, but I take authority over the demons in Rochester. And God says, you're partying with the demons, and you're taking, you can't divide a kingdom divided against itself, Jesus said, will not stand. Romans 8:32 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death.
Hallelujah.
It's made me free. I'm not under that law. I'm no longer under that law. I'm no longer under that law. I'm free. See? Freedom means I'm free. I looked it up. Freedom in the Greek means
free.
Free. In the Hebrew, freedom in the Hebrew means
free.
Free. It's free. Redefining what freedom is. A couple generations ago, we used to know what it was like to be free in this nation. In the natural, we ain't free. I feel bad for the citizens of this world. They're a part of this nation. They're bound up. We are bound up. We're in servitude to Washington. Come on, somebody. Over 50% of our income is going toward taxes, sales tax. We're bound. And there ain't no way out except repentance, revival. But see, I'm not under, I feel bad for them, but I'm not under that. Because God makes my 50% go 150%. I find deals all over the place. Come on, somebody. My wife is like that, man. My wife is so free, it's funny. Cause she'll just, you know, she'll want something for the house or want something or, you know, she's happy with having nothing. But if she wants something, she'll just pray. And God will, you know, she'll buy something that was 150 bucks for $2 at a yard sale. I don't know, it works. Come on, somebody. And we do damage to the kingdom of heaven when we try to be free and we know we're not. 2 Corinthians 3:17. Do I have that on there? Okay, 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is liberty. Freedom is the main ingredient in deliverance. There are many that do not take advantage of what Christ did and find themselves in a sad place, a child of God, and in bondage. Freedom is the main ingredient. When God says, I've delivered you from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of the Son, the light. And the main ingredient in that is that deliverance is, I'm free. Oh, Jesus. But it does not need to be that way. We don't need to be in bondage. You could be made free because, you could be set free because you were made free. It doesn't look good on you. It doesn't fit well. You never feel like you're quite there. Never feel like you're quite a citizen of heaven. You kind of feel like you're walking in between two worlds. It's like the weekend warrior, you know. 6 days a week you're a civilian, and or 5 days, and then on the weekend you become a soldier. Come on, somebody. You feel like you're partial here and partial there. God says, I didn't make you partial anything. You were partial. That's why I had to kill you and give you a new life. You were a mess. You were jumbled up. You were like a puzzle that could never be missing about every other piece. So I killed you. I said, all I can do, Jesus looked at me and said, all I can do with that guy is kill him. I'll kill him. And now I've given him a new life. Glory to God. Come on, somebody. Now, I just don't want to live like that anymore. I don't want to live piecemeal. I don't want to live just making it. I don't want to live just getting by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to live like that. I can't live like that. That is not life. Amen. Jesus said, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. It's not life to try to live in between two worlds. It's a nightmare. That's why we failed so much in our desire to witness to somebody. I was out yesterday and talked to somebody. They said they got hurt in church at 16 years old. The church made fun of them, and so they've never been back. This person's like 40 or 50, almost 60 years old, looked like. I was thinking about that last night and prayed for her. I said, man, what a place to be. You get hurt once, you never go back. I said to her, I said, do you drive? She said, no more. I said, if you could, would you? And I said, yes. She said, yes. And I said, you know, there's accidents every day on the highway. Just because you have an accident don't mean you stop driving. New creations have the DNA of God in them. See, we walk in authority. We walk in glory. We walk in power. We walk in anointing. 2 Corinthians 1:9 says, yes, we have the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead. Underline, raises the dead. Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom we trust that He will still deliver us. So the whole process is, God says, I'm delivering you. We get close, whenever we get close to sin, God said, I've created an exit for you, because that exit means I've delivered you. If needs be, if you fall into sin, if you get into a mess, if you confess your sin, I'm faithful and just to forgive you of your sin, but I've created an exit for that sin, so you don't need to do that. I'm delivering you. I have delivered you. I am delivering you, and you will be delivered. It's in a constant state of staying in the light. Amen. See, however He deals with us, He deals with us as children. We don't get dealt with like the world gets dealt with. Come on, somebody. And here's another thing that I want you to get into your spirit this morning. Once you've been forgiven of something, God not only takes the sin, but He takes the results of the sin. You don't have to reap what you've sown. God takes that away too. Come on, somebody. Because we got this idea that God forgives us, but we just have to put up with the results now. We don't have to put up with the results. Anybody who's told you that is a stone cold liar. You don't have to put up with that. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Even our own children in the darkness, we say, you know, they spill something or do something in the dark, we just say, well, I'll turn on the light long enough to clean up, and you're on your own. I'm putting you back in the darkness. Come on, somebody. God loves us. He delivered us completely. His deliverance is not like a man would deliver us. It's not like a human being would deliver us. It's not like somebody else that would forgive us. You know, we have a difficult time when we forgive people. We need that God kind of forgiveness, because God forgives and He places us in the light. The deliverance that I speak of today is not contingent on my actions or my intelligence. If that were the case, I'd be in real trouble. Because I'm a little, you know, I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed. I've said that many times. I mean it. Anything I've got is from God. Not on my allegiance or my accuracy. God is not giving me brownie points for being the best. God doesn't say, because you're the best, I'm going to give you more than I give anybody else. You've got special dispensation because you're doing it right. Nobody else can do it right, but you're doing it right. It's up to you. If you, whatever you do right, you can do right. No, God says, I've already done it. I've already perfected it. I've already finished it. There's nothing you can add to it. There's not an addendum to it. There's no remodeling needed. No matter what you think, no matter what your idea is, God, I got an idea how I can win over this. It's not a new idea. God's already did it in the Word. And we walk in it. We step in it. We say, God, I'm in the light. Now I can complete it because you've already completed it. Not on my position or my title. Where is it? It's in Christ. Fully resting my hope that He has delivered me and made me free and positioned me for the freedom in every sense of the word. In every sense of the word. Galatians 5:1 in the New American Standard said, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Woo-hoo. I like that. Think about it. I set you free because you're going to like freedom. Amen. I didn't set you free so you could give me a pat on the back. I didn't set you free so you could brag about it. I set you free because freedom is freedom. True freedom is freedom. And I've had conversations since that day or days back in September of 1984. I've had people question me. Well, how do you do this? How do you get over that? Listen, it's not that bad things never happened to me. I've had tons of bad things happen to me since then. I've had tons of temptation. I've had all that thing. I've fallen. I've asked God for forgiveness. It's not about that. It's about knowing who I am in Jesus. The devil can't ever take that away from me. I'm a new creation. See? I'm in a constant state of newness. Not a new creation 30 years ago when I got saved. 35 years ago now. I became a new creation. But that new is every moment I'm new. I'm in a constant state of newness. I never wear out. It never grows old. My eternity started on April 19th, 1981. Come on, somebody. So I'm an eternal being where I'm always new. If you catch this, it will absolutely revolutionize your life. You're new all the time, see? So what are we free from anyhow? Number one, we're free from the guilt of sin. Here I want to touch this. I know I'm going a little bit long. Can you hang in there with me just for a minute? See, because there was a bunch of people come up and threw stuff in here. But now you're free from the guilt. You need to leave guilt there. Because you're confessing things and the enemy says, oh, so you finally came to the thing where you admit that you were sinning. You're sinning. And you should have never done that. Boy, you ought to feel bad. See, Christ not only died for the sin, He died for the guilt.
Hallelujah.
So that we're not guilty.
Hallelujah.
Guilt involves torment, which involves fear, which involves paralysis. Many Christians live in the land of paralysis. I can't do anything for God because I'm dealing with this. And it doesn't matter what you did. Everything you did is under the blood of Jesus Christ. It really doesn't matter. You say, well, you could say that about you, but my sin matters. That thing mattered. It involved other people. That thing, I got hurt. I hurt other people and I got hurt. And I'll never be the same again. I've got my cross to bear. Don't tell me it's never going to. And I'm telling you that Christ not only died for the sin, He died for the guilt. Woohoo. Come on, somebody. Man, that ought to be free to you. You say, God, you mean I no longer have to think about that? You know, I no longer have to beat myself. God says, you're right about that. I've taken the guilt. But God, I've taken the guilt. Not only are you free from the guilt of sin, you are free from the consequences of sin. You're free from that. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Read it in context. Every time I read that, I think about the blessings that are for me. Because that he doesn't wipe away. Come on, somebody. It's not about the guilt. It's not about the consequences. Not only has he made me free from the guilt and the consequences, we're free to be all that God wants us to be. You're free. You're free to be all that God has called you to be. Man, live your potential. Leave it all on the field. Don't back off. Push. Man, push. I'm 61. I'm pushing harder now than I ever have in my life. I'm pushing. I want to do it all for God. I want to leave it all on the field. Don't, listen, live your potential. Be all that God wants you to be. It may be the biggest change in your life that ever happened. People might say, I've known you all these years and now you're going to do this. You better believe it because this is what God called me to do all along. Come on, somebody. Free from the traps and the lies of the enemy. I'll tell you what I do when the enemy comes, starts talking to me like that. I just tell him to shut up and get out of my face. I don't even argue with him. How can you argue with somebody that doesn't have a brain? Enemy doesn't have a brain. He's stupid. He doesn't get it. Or worse yet, he gets it and he still doesn't get it. He's a liar and the father of lies. So anytime he comes to argue with me, never argue with the devil. He'll win every time. Because he knows how to make twists and turns. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, get thee hence. Come on, somebody. You are not going to be a big deal arguing with the devil. God's not going to say, hey, guys, come here. Look at that. Rick's fighting the devil. We fight against principalities and powers, against rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. We're fighting it because of the earth people, not because of us. The battle's already been won for us. But they're still in a battle. And we do battle and we do warfare. We do it against the enemy of our educational system, the enemy of our political system, the enemy of our finances, the enemy of those things. We've got to fight those things, but we have freedom in Christ. Either that or it's not real. You can't say out of one side of your mouth, you made me free, and then on the other side of your mouth, say you're bound. You can't do it. My God never did that. It's been preached from pulpits. It's been talked about. Yes, we do fight a war, but we fight the war for those that are still bound, for the prisoners. Not for me. I'm not a prisoner of anything. I'm a prisoner of Christ. I'm a slave of Christ. Come on, somebody. Listen, read Galatians with eyes of God. Galatians, Paul says over and over again, he says, I wouldn't even give myself to it for an hour. He said that the law is so terrible. I wish people would cut themselves off. He talked about people maiming themselves being under the law. You'll get that later. It's such a terrible, heinous thing. Free from all the traps and the lies of the enemy. He is a liar and has kept us in bondage long enough. And lastly, you are free to pursue your dreams. Buddy, I can dream big. And I know there's promises that God has given me that I'm going to live and see before I close these eyes and go to be with my Jesus. You are much more than you ever realize. Number one, you're a child of God. You are 10 foot tall and bulletproof. Live your potential. Live in all that God called you to do. Determine to do it today. Stop the pattern of defeat. If all you did was come up here and throw things into garbage that was just an exercise you're going to take them out of here with you, it was a waste. Don't take them out of here with you. Amen. Leave it here. It's here. It's going to be burned. It's going to be burned. It's going to be burned. It's going to be passed. When I made this step so many years ago, I just, It was such a change in my life. I was changed when I was born again, but when I made this, when I came to the realization, because listen, this gospel that I'm preaching today has been so hidden by religion. And religion is a twin sister with the devil. Says I have to do all this and be all that and do all it. I have to, you know, it's a bunch of garbage. It's not even worth looking. It's not even worth, don't listen to the lie. It says you gotta do. You gotta do all this. You gotta exercise all that. You gotta do it. No, you do stuff because you have a relationship with God. You do the things because I do the things God asked me to do and commanded me to do because I love Him, not because I have to do anything. Not a have-to gospel. It's a want-to gospel. Yeah, I want to. Because I love Him. Father, I pray this morning. Lord, I don't know. I don't know if I delivered what You wanted me to, Father. I got so excited about it. But Lord, it's a thankful time. Lord, we've thanked You for redeeming us. We're thanking You today for delivering us. Let that deliverance be complete. Let it be complete, God. There are some here this morning that you just need somebody to agree with you in prayer. I ask you as we worship for just a few minutes, just take a few more minutes. I promise I won't take long. Football games, not for an hour and 15 minutes. You can wait. God wants to do business with you today. You see, I just need some agreement. I'm under so much trial right now. The enemy might be beating you up because of what you did this morning. I want you to leave here different than you ever have been before. I don't want you to leave here the same at all. So I want, as we begin to worship, if you need prayer, you come up. I promise I won't embarrass you. I just want to pray with you. Say, I need an agreement. Wherever two or three agree is touching any one thing, it shall come to pass. So while we're under this cloud, while we're under this blessing, please pray with me this morning. I'm asking if you've never made a commitment to Jesus Christ this morning. I don't know everybody here. And it doesn't matter if you've been faking it for years, if you need to really get saved this morning. If you say, I want to experience that freedom, I want you to slip up your hand. I want to pray for you this morning. If you say, I know I'm a child of God, but if you're not sure this morning, I want you to slip up your hand. I'm telling you this morning, God loves you, died for you. He'll accept you just the way you are. He's the one that cleans you up, not you. Don't get clean to be there. Be there and get clean. So if that's you, just slip up your hand. I'll pray for you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Please come if you need prayer this morning. Need prayer, come. Come as we close this morning and worship. If you need to go, I understand. If you need to worship or if you need to talk, just go take it to another room. It's a holy place. If you need me to agree with you in prayer, be glad to do that this morning. God bless you.